Don't be engulfed by the smokescreen of the ongoing ICE raids and the anti-ICE protests.
This is not just about resistance here in Minneapolis. It's about love. So you've got people uniting and coming together in this beautiful way.
After the shooting of Renee Good, the coverage of ICE on CBS, NBC, and ABC was 93% negative. 93% negative is not journalism. It's tribalism.
Let's keep our eye on the ball.
How high up do you think the message went that there was fraud? Do you think it made its way to the governor's office?
I struggle to believe it didn't. I have to believe that the governor's office and Keith Ellison's office were aware of this. They've said they were involved in helping the FBI. They've said they were made aware.
Mr. Dexter, could have something been done about this earlier?
Yes. As I stated in my opening testimony, in the years that I worked there, we identified how fraud was occurring, the loopholes that existed, and we...
What were some of the warning signs, Mr. Dexter?
Well, the fact that part of our job was to go and collect attendance records. We would find attendance records that were either incomplete, non-existent.
But I can't understate it how frustrated Minnesotans are right now with the level of fraud and the lack of accountability. Assistant Commissioner Moore said that through the SWIFT system, through your accounting system, you know who you're paying. You know the people who you are sending money to. You know their name, you know their business. Frankly, you probably know who they're connected to. And through the tools across state agencies and across all of the executive branch, from business registrations to what they have to file with the Attorney General's office, all of those tools exist. So why are payments continuing to people who have been convicted of fraud?
Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey's inner circle has been riddled with explosive ties to one of the biggest fraud heists in American history, the $250 million Feeding Our Future scam.
The brazen scheme of staggering proportions.
The largest pandemic fraud in the United States.
The subjects in this case weren't interested in feeding our future. They were interested in feeding their own gluttony.
We have new details on a jury tampering scheme at the center of a major fraud case. Federal prosecutors indicted five people for their roles in offering a juror $120,000 for a not guilty verdict in the Feeding Our Future fraud scheme. The U.S. attorney says the group targeted juror 52 because she was the youngest juror and appeared to be the only juror of color.
Three of Frey's own appointees got nailed. Former senior policy aide Abdi Nur Salah pleaded guilty to wire fraud. Shamarke Issa, twice handpicked to chair the Minneapolis Public Housing Authority, copped to wire fraud and restitution in the millions. Abdik Kadir Inanche Muhammad, tapped for Frey's community safety work group, faced indictments in the same rotten scheme. Add in campaign max donations from at least eight indicted players, plus Frey's own wife, Sarah Clark, lobbying at the firm that shielded Feeding Our Future itself, and you've got a tangled web of proximity, appointments, and unanswered questions screaming conflict and cover.
Look, the fraud's real. We've all got to acknowledge it. The fraud is very real, and by the way, when somebody commits fraud, and there are many that have done that, you investigate it, you charge, you prosecute, and yeah, you put the person in jail. As an individual, you put the person in jail as an individual. You do not hold an entire community, any community, accountable for the actions of individuals.
Frey claims ignorance and distances himself. But how long can the distraction go on for this city under siege by its own local and state government?
Who are the funders, the orchestrators, the facilitators of these riots and these efforts to impede lawful enforcement?
John Bowne reporting for InfoWars.
Yeah. If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Happy Friday, everyone. Been a crazy week. We're playing catch up, though, of course, keeping you up to date with the latest going on all around the world. We've got a lot to discuss here. The president kind of has a busy schedule today. It's not as harsh as the days prior, but President Trump will be participating in a print interview at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Now, no word as to what outlet that is. Then later at 3 p.m. Eastern time, he's expected to sign some congressional bills into law. And then he will be participating in a meeting with the commissioner of U.S. Social Security Administration at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. And then finally, he'll conclude his day at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time by participating in something called policy time. That's what's on his schedule for today. So we'll keep our eye on that and see if anything does come about it. But man, oh man. I'm going to be a little optimistic here. There was a glimpse of hope yesterday when the DOJ decided to use its powers for good and not bad. This time they decided to round up three of those protesters that went to that church outside in Minnesota. They rounded them up and they had them arrested. These are the three individuals who are now facing charges, criminal charges. The FACE Act, obviously, being a big one here. But these were all people who didn't really care. Nakima Armstrong is one of those individuals that was apprehended. And she was very brazen, of course, prior to being arrested. She was doing a lot of media. And in clip one, you're going to hear her explanation as for what happened inside of that church to CNN yesterday. Take a listen.
And I do want to correct something that was said in the beginning. We did not rush into that church. We actually went and sat down and participated in the service. And after the pastor prayed, that is when I stood up and asked him a question in response to his prayer. And then he responded to me. And then I proceeded to ask him about Pastor David Easterwood and how is it possible for him to serve as both a pastor and the director of ICE from Minnesota. And instead of responding to me, as soon as I said the name David Easterwood, the pastor says, shame. Shame. And that is when I let us enchant justice for Renee Good and hands up, don't shoot. So I want to clarify that we didn't rush in. We didn't bust in. We were a part of the service until I got up and posed that question to the pastor.
That's her defense, that she was a part of the service and she was going to pretend now like she allowed the service to go on. But we also had unraveled that day when they were told to leave. They decided not to leave. They did not belong there. That is not their church. When was the last time any of them have actually been to church? Well, I'm sure we'll find out during the criminal trial, of course. Now they're all claiming, you hear Don Lemon, I'm a Christian. That's not how believers actually behave. So good on the DOJ for finally getting involved in all of this. Also, speaking of Don Lemon, it's worth noting that there was a federal magistrate judge who refused to sign off on that arrest warrant for Don Lemon. Douglas Miko is his name. Him and his wife apparently might have very close ties over to the AG's office. This is according to Bill Mnuchin, who's out here reporting that his wife, that's the magistrate judge, works as an assistant attorney general in Minnesota's attorney general's office, Keith Ellison's office. So that's where she's at. Of course, guys, that's a conflict of interest. Now, a normal judge would probably, just to be safe, would punt and say, all right, this is obviously a conflict of interest, so we want no part in any of this. That's what a normal judge would say, but no. Mm-mm. Now, I'm sure the DOJ, given the fact that this is obviously very high profile, and I did see a video of Don Lemon ranting saying, I'm going to keep doing journalism. That's undue journalism. He has no idea what journalism is. He had embedded himself in what he called an operation. Not a protest, an operation. Don Lemon needs to get rounded up, too. Don't care what liberal judge decides to say, nah, I'm not signing that. Go to another one. Democrats were the masters of this. They knew exactly what judges to ask favors of. Why is the current DOJ not playing by the old rules? The old rules are you didn't like what one DOJ or what one magistrate judge does, take it to another one. Keep bouncing around until a judge will give you what you want because they comply with your abuse. That was the old rule. Now this isn't even abuse. In fact, all of this is warranted given the fact that we watched the Biden regime round up peaceful protesters outside of abortion clinics for political gain because why? They were upset that Roe versus Wade was overturned. Apply the same set of rules. These people are cons. These people are cons. We've also got a couple of mugshots. And again, these people in these mugshots have been doing a bunch of unhinged interviews. I'll play one later in the show for you, but not a good looking crowd. Not a crowd I'd ever find myself hanging out with on a Sunday. But clearly individuals suffering from leftist derangement syndrome. I mean, that is exactly what's going on here. These people are out of their freaking mind. So good on the DOJ. There's, you know, claims that there's going to be more arrests. Don Lemon needs to be one of them, swept up into all of this. How quickly he bows out. Oh, I wasn't a part of the protest. Let's see those text messages, Don. Were they orchestrating it? Were you involved in that? Were you told where to go? You see, if we apply the same set of rules, you're going to have your home raided. Why? Well, because they did it to James O'Keefe. And James O'Keefe is a real journalist. He actually exposes things. But if you want to pretend to be a journalist, cool. Let's just play that game. Give him the James O'Keefe treatment. Raid his home. Raid the homes of his employees. And then when they ask for an explanation as to why you even were able to secure those warrants, give them a heavily redacted document and tell them to have a good time at that. And then if you really want to have a little bit of fun, give them the Steve Baker treatment, right? Because Steve Baker was rounded up for his coverage of January 6th going into the Capitol that day and filming. So what'd they do? Well, I was there for it. Our federal government took Steve Baker, slapped cuffs on him, put him in ankle bracelets, and dragged him off to court with a bunch of criminals. Why? Because he was reporting from inside the Capitol that day, and they didn't like his reporting. So what's happening here? Well, Don Lemon deserves the same exact treatment as others received, because they didn't stand up for them when it was going down. So do it. Do it. Find a magistrate judge that will sign off on your warrants and send Don Lemon packing. Why not? Folks, later on in the show, too, we're going to talk more about this and the legal side of it with Robert Gouveia. He'll be joining the program. As many of you know, he's a criminal defense attorney. He's also the host of the Spotlight of Justice. And he'll be joining us to break down the legal side of all of this. Also be joined by Alex Rosen as well in the next hour and Mel Kay in the third hour of the program. So we've got a lot going on over here. But I feel like we've got to call out a lot of the fraud that's going on. And when I'm talking about the fraud specifically, I'm not talking about the dollar amounts that have been stolen from the American people. I'm talking about the fraud that's being printed and pushed out through the propagandist mainstream media. Those who are sitting here, don't ask the simple questions as to, well, how do we arrive at this one point? There's a bunch of stories that they keep trying to push. And I warned you guys, as soon as President Trump was elected, they were going to find any little story that might be able to pull at your heartstrings when it comes to immigration. And they were going to put it on blast. And they could keep doing that. They keep doing that. In fact, there's a five-year-old who they're trying to cook up this fake narrative about how a five-year-old came home from school in Minnesota and he was quickly arrested by ICE with his father and dragged off into federal custody. What they're also trying to say is that five-year-old boy was used as bait to get the father to come out so they could arrest the dad. First off, father's a criminal legal alien. Okay, just so you know that, that's what we're hearing from DHS. The second thing we're hearing from DHS is the mom is also an illegal alien. Yesterday on X, DHS came out and said, oh no, the actual father abandoned the son at first. And then when we were trying to get the mother and also said, hey, we're not going to arrest you, just take your son. Like, we just want to make sure he has custody. So we don't have to bring him to federal custody. What happens? Well, they quickly couldn't get the mom to come out. By the way, this article here that you're seeing on your screen shows how much of a concocted narrative this is. This is a five-year-old girl, completely different story. Last year, they tried doing the same exact thing. They tried to say that, oh, ICE agents rounded up a five-year-old girl and dragged him off to prison, dragged him off to ICE custody, whatever it is. That's what they keep trying to push out there. Again, they are just looking for anything that catches your attention and goes, let's not enforce our immigration laws anymore. So here's how the mainstream media is reporting on this. I'm going to play clip two for you because this is how ABC News broke this down for their audience yesterday. Take a listen.
Tonight, the haunting images sparking a firestorm. A preschool boy standing in the Minnesota cold, swept up in the ICE crackdown. School officials say five-year-old Liam, wearing his blue hat and backpack, and his father, Adrian Alexander Conejo Arias, had just pulled into their suburban Minneapolis driveway Tuesday when agents took that father into custody. The school then saying an agent essentially used the five-year-old as bait, directing him to see if anyone else was home before taking the boy away. The district saying Liam is among four students recently detained.
The sense of safety in our community and around our schools is shaken, and our hearts are shattered. And honestly, at the end of the day, children should be in school with their classmates.
But DHS telling a different story, saying ICE did not target a child, claiming Liam's father is an undocumented immigrant and fled on foot, abandoning his son in the driveway. Tonight, during a visit here in Minneapolis, Vice President J.D. Vance saying the agents were protecting the child.
What are they supposed to do? Are they supposed to let a five-year-old child freeze to death?
But the district says multiple people on scene did offer to take the child, but were refused. Vance broadly praising the work of federal agents, saying the vast majority are doing excellent work. But for the first time tonight, the administration telling me they are willing to discipline ICE officers, quote, when justified.
Somebody did something wrong. Yes, they're going to face disciplinary action, but we're not going to judge them in the court of public opinion.
Vance saying he's trying to ease soaring tensions amid furious protests. Border Patrol Commander at Large Greg Bovino tossing a smoke grenade into an unruly crowd. Agents pinning this person to the ground, this stunning image of the pepper spray at close range.
And David, tonight, the chilling image of that little boy standing out in the cold, striking a chord with so many here. The family's lawyer saying the boy's father did come to this country legally. And David, tonight, we've learned that both father and son are being held together at a processing facility near San Antonio.
Okay, they're saying that the father came here legally. We need evidence of that. And if he was still living here legally, those are the key words, though. He came here legally. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean he came here and applied for asylum? Is that what they're trying to claim? And again, folks, you heard it there, okay? The father abandoned the child to go run off to get away from ICE. That's what they're alleging, right? Then you hear the follow-up too, which didn't come obviously from ABC News, but came from DHS coming out and saying that we actually tried to give the alleged mother custody of the child, of her own child, but she refused because she refused to come out of the home. So they abandoned their child. They are leaving that part completely out. They don't want you to know that. And then ABC News puts this point in. Multiple people on scene want to take custody of the kid. You mean strangers, left-wing liberals wanted to snatch a child up and take them into their home? Imagine if federal agents were just giving away children. I guess the Biden regime is doing that. But imagine, right? Oh, we don't. The father's getting taken away. Lefty just comes over. We'll take custody. Okay, here you go. Rainbow-headed weirdo, take the kid. Have fun. It doesn't make sense. Why would ABC News even put that into their piece? Well, because they want to pretend and spin up this narrative that ICE is out there doing egregious things. Look, somebody wanted to take custody of the kid. They didn't hand it off to this stranger in the street. How dare they not do that? How dare they? That's not journalism, folks. That is trying to very much so spin your own narrative. They're all full of it. They're all full of it. And it's really frustrating to sit back and listen to because they just continue to go out there and spew lies. They've got nothing but lies. Even Kamala Harris jumping on board now and she's spewing lies. Trying to again drum up the narrative that this Ramos five-year-old kid was somehow, some way used. Thankfully, though, Trish McLaughlin, who is probably one of the best spokeswomen you're going to find in the communications world. I always say comms, but some of you probably don't know what that is, the communications department of these companies. She's by far one of the best. She's been going out there and fact-checking every single person's page because, again, why would ICE, knowing how controversial things are right now in Minnesota, why would they use a child as bait? It doesn't make sense when they know that they're trying to win a PR war here. But the mainstream media, the politicians, everyone's on their side, so they're going to go spin these narratives how they want to. By the way, also, this screenshot, I guess this would be a tweet, Democrats, it's their official page, keeps pushing that lie, that same exact lie. And a five-year-old coming home from preschool had been used as human bait. His teachers describe him as a bright young student. These monsters are sick. They weren't sick, though, when Barack Obama was doing his mass deportations. They weren't sick then, but now they're sick. Now they're demonized by Democrats. It's just, it's so insane that we've gotten to this point. And it's getting even worse, right? Because now we have these communist Democrats who are trying to convince the American people, of course, that non-U.S. citizens who are here illegally, that they too are Americans. And you can't even argue with them on this front because they believe this. They truly believe this. Democrats like Maxwell Frost, the communist from Florida, take a listen to clip 4 and how he tries to justify that everyone's an American if they want to be an American.
The reason I released the video last week informing my constituents about increased ICE presence in Orlando, where there's a huge Haitian diaspora. We're very worried about the targeting of our Haitian brothers, sisters, and siblings across the entire country. And us as a community, we have to band together to protect Americans. And you're an American regardless of what your legal status is.
That's not how it works, you moron. That's not how it works. You are not an American. You can't just come into our country, invade, and then think that we're going to allow you to stay here and then pretend like you're an American citizen. What's Frost hoping here? He's hoping you're just as stupid as he is. He's a communist pushing his agenda. And no, they are not our Haitian brothers and sisters. They are people who were intentionally brought into this country, by the way, for the Haitian cause by the Biden regime, flown in, actually. Because they were trying to change communities, demographically, of course. And so they were strategically brought into this country and put in areas they don't belong in because they have no roots to these areas. Because what are they trying to do? Well, they're obviously trying to change demographics of this country. And that's exactly what they did. So don't hit me with the, there are Haitian brothers and sisters. No, they're actually foreigners who need to go back to their countries. And it gets even worse. There's this woman out there, Nasara Ahmed, a 23-year-old U.S. citizen is what they're saying. And I did ask DHS for comment. It was kind of last minute, so I'm still waiting to hear back from them on this front. But apparently she was arrested and detained by ICE. And you got to listen to her story because her story is quite laughable. Take a listen to clips 5.
They kidnapped me. They took me. They arrested and detained me for 2 days. And I was put in county jail. ICE came. They came out of their cars. They asked me to see my ID. And while they were asking me to see the ID, that man, he called me the N-word. They pushed me hard. They used a lot of violence. My body still hurts. I got a concussion. It's really hard for me to speak because of that concussion. And I was screaming. I was crying. I was so scared. I've, like, never been arrested in my life. I don't have, like, a criminal record. I have a clean record. I was literal cuffs were put on my legs, cuffs on my hands. And I was actually detained with a Native American woman. And God bless her heart. She went through a lot, too. She was also detained by ICE. And she was also a U.S. citizen, and like me. And she had gashes on her face. They shattered her windows. She had blood on her jeans, her corduroy jeans. And she was crying because she was so scared that, because she was with her dog. She was so scared that her dog got hurt. She was so scared for her life. We were both crying together. We were holding each other tight. And I'll never forget, like, the fear that we both felt in our hearts that day.
Well, law enforcement has just released the photo of the two federal agents that called her the N-word while beating her up. And here they are on your screen, folks. All right, that's a bad joke. But the reality of it is this is all fake. This is all fake. The theatrics is fake. Now, I did ask DHS specifically for her background. Why was she apprehended? I'll let you know when we find that out. But folks, come on. We've seen this time and time again. We're done with these fake empathetic stories. Why did ICE have to detain you? Why did the federal agents have to detain you? There's probably a reason why. You see, they keep saying, oh, Americans are being arrested. Well, Americans, and again, we don't know what her situation was. We're still waiting for details. But I could promise you this. The Americans that are being arrested because they're being jerks. Because they're trying to inject, and jerks was the better choice of word than what I was actually going to say. They're being arrested because they are trying their very best to stop ICE from doing their jobs. And it's all intentional. This isn't an accident. They are actually there for a reason. They are there for a reason. They are there to try to stop ICE from doing their jobs, to try to intimidate them. But the American people voted for ICE to do their jobs. We're not going to sit here and bow out like they did in the BLM riots. We're not going to sit here and pretend like these people have a backbone to stand on, like these people are fighting for truth. That's a load of garbage. That's a load of garbage. And the vilification of these ICE agents, which is so wild to me, considering the fact that when they were doing their job just a few years ago, no one had a problem with them. But now they're demons. Now they're demons. Now they're Nazis. People like Eric Swalwell in Clip 7, they just love going out there and consistently spewing lies. Eric Swalwell never gets fact-checked in live time, and it's really frustrating because he's not very intelligent. So if you wanted just a viral clip, all you had to do is ask him simple questions, but that doesn't happen on CNN, on MSNBC. So that's why he goes there, because it's a safe place. Take a listen.
So we're watching what ICE is doing with their own eyes. We saw that woman be shot with her own eyes. And what I've said as governor is I will use the powers of the office. If you're going to wear a mask as an ICE agent in your state, I will take away your driver's license. If you work for ICE, you will be unhirable in the state. If you're going to work for fascists, forget about working in the state. So we are not weak. We have to go on offense. Otherwise, the most vulnerable in our communities are on defense. And I urge every governor to start protecting their people in their state that way.
Do you think every ICE agent on the streets is a fascist?
I think that if you continue to work for them now, seeing what they're doing, dragging women by their hair through the streets, deporting a four-year-old, battling stage four cancer, shooting a mother in the face three times, if you still work for them, that's a choice. No one's forcing you to do that. I don't want you working in the state.
You can't work in California. Sure, that's going to be very upsetting for ICE agents. Yeah, they shot a woman in the face three times, according to Eric Swalwell. She was actually shot four times, but facts don't matter. But she also caused an agent to get internal bleeding, which only happens when you use your vehicle as a weapon. Otherwise, it doesn't happen without there being an actual a reason. It's so frustrating that these are the people who make their way into Congress because they're really, really dumb. They're really, really dumb. And in fact, Eric Swalwell is hoping for a promotion, and he's doing just that by running for California governor. Californians are dumb enough to vote for him. Why not do that? Or they decide to steal an election. It's not going to look good for California if that guy gets into the office. But I said the same thing for Newsom. They're still standing, barely though, but they're still standing. So good luck to California on that one. All right, guys, we got more to discuss in just a bit. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because we have incredible deals, a various amount of discounts heading over to the shop right now. T-shirts, 25% off. So are the hoodies. Hats are 20% off. And when it comes to your favorite vitamins, well, you could save up to 45% off on some of your favorites. Other discounts do vary, though, as well. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Check out the savings that are going on right now. And we'll be right back with more to discuss in a little bit.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene blue tube. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said, sure, he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in
because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue, and then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patty Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
It's I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimethylene Blue, theoxygenshore.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, it was like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in, and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time, the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first and then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because... It's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I ain't gonna serve dog to people. They're not gonna come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. Just so you know, in the second hour of the show, we'll be taking your calls. So if you want to give us a call, talk about stories we've discussed thus far throughout this week, I guess I could say, the number is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539 is the number you could call into to chat with me and our audience. So give us a call if you want to join the show. All right, folks, I wanted to bring your attention back to a story that we discussed earlier this week. It has to do with an individual who just happens to have the middle name Jihad. He did a horrific, horrific, horrific attack. Murdered three innocent men who were here as just tourists in Florida. We're here in Orlando, I guess I should say. So not here technically, but I'll be in Florida in a little bit. But the story itself is just an absolute tragedy. This individual was acquitted prior because they didn't think he was mentally capable of being able to be held accountable for his own actions. This is something, too, that has a lot of people very frustrated because this could have been preventable, right? These three people would still be alive today if, you know, people did their jobs. If people stopped having empathy for individuals like that, keep in mind, originally he was charged with shooting at another person in a gas station. So he's got the record for this. Okay. Went out, murdered three people, stalked them prior, and it's an absolute horrible situation here. Now, this happened in Orlando, and the state attorney over there, Monica Worrell, is an individual who is trying to, and I could be nice and say that she's not trying to directly do this, right? She doesn't maybe not have a conscious effort that she's putting into this. Or I could be realistic with you and I can say, this is just another liberal who's trying to make excuses for a horrible human being who shouldn't even be in this place. And by this place, I mean this country, this world. When people do heinous crimes like this, and we ignore the earlier signs of all of it, there's always signs. There's always signs. And he has a record. He has a record. Before I play the state attorney's comments, I want to remind our audience that he has a record. According to the local sheriff over there, they've apparently received 41 calls to his home. That's from 2006 to 2022. 16 of those calls were about aggressive behavior. That's according to local reports. So obviously someone not mentally well, middle name Jihad, you probably didn't give him a good running start at life, mom. But the attorney had this to say in regards to why he no longer was getting the mental help that he was supposed to be receiving. Take a listen to clip 8.
Now, I have researched into this case since the latest event has taken place. And what I found is that that individual was sentenced to conditional release. And that conditional release was that he would continue treatment with an outpatient community partner. My understanding is that that treatment was originally costing $7 a month. And that after a period of time, that $7 a month bill went up to $150+ a month. And that the individual was no longer in compliance with his treatment because of inability to pay for that treatment. And now here we are with individuals who need mental health treatment and don't have access to that treatment. Bad things happen. And that's what we're dealing with. I want to be very delicate in how I talk about this because we can never overlook the fact that three people are dead. Three families are grieving. And this is not an opportunity for political discussions.
Oh, now's not the time for political discussions, but you had no problem doing that in your lead-in because obviously she's liberal. I mean, it was very obvious, right? She wants you to empathize for an individual who just killed and murdered, executed three innocent men. So she wants you to feel bad because he couldn't afford the $7. He couldn't afford the $150. He couldn't, it got too expensive for him. Cut the crap, lady. Cut the crap. My empathy is with the victims and not the suspect. See, that's the difference between the rest of us and liberals. Liberals always want you to be empathetic towards suspects. Oh, he couldn't afford the treatment anymore. The three victims, they're just collateral damage. And who even needs a criminal defense attorney when you have prosecutors like that? Prosecutors that want you to be empathetic towards the suspects. Three men just enjoying their vacation, brutally murdered by an individual whose middle name is Jihad. By the way, we still don't have motive, in case you're wondering. We still don't have motive. But this is why it's just so painful to deal with these liberal prosecutors. I hear story after story. Everyone reaches out to me about what's going on here in Austin, about all the liberal prosecutor here who's running the show. By far, one of the worst in the country. Probably, I'd say top. Murder charges get reduced down to nothing. Slaps on the wrist because you're a kid. Come on. You murdered someone. Who cares? These prosecutors are the problems. And the problem is also, I mean, this is a red state. Texas is supposed to be a red state. Florida's a red state. Start getting rid of these people. Governor DeSantis did it once. It was good. We liked it. Let's keep it going. They shouldn't have these positions because they don't want to actually equally apply the law. They want to apply the law based on their own personal beliefs, which is liberalism, communism, Marxism. Whichever angle these people are at, that's where they're spewing this from. Empathetic. You want me to feel bad for a guy who got off on shooting another person at a gas station just a couple of years back? You want me to feel bad for him because he couldn't afford the $150 a month for his mental health treatment? I'm sure there's a service that would have helped him out. But then again, why are they out in the streets? Again, jury was the one who did this, by the way. People want you to be empathetic towards the suspects. F the suspects. People like that who commit heinous crimes, allegedly. I'm just so done with it. This case needs to be a death penalty case, but I know what they're going to do. The defense attorneys, even if you do make it a death penalty case, they will say, oh, he's not mentally well. You can't do that. Because again, we as a country have more empathy for the suspects than the actual victims of crime. And this is just more proof of just that. Speaking of Texas too, well, I'll get to this in a second, actually. Let's go to this one first. Clip 9, Jasmine Crockett. As many of you guys know, she is she's one of the lovely gifts of low voter turnout that Texas has given this country. And she's in Congress, obviously. But, you know, we tried fixing this issue by just nuking her seat. That didn't really work because she's trying to run for Senate. And I don't think she's going to win, but she's trying her best. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But Jasmine Crockett is doing her very best to call people criminals. And she did this, or this is actually a slip of her tongue. She tried referring to Jack Smith, and she caught herself as a career criminal, but she was actually referring to something else, and it slipped. Take a listen to clip 9.
No cameras, because I was there. They didn't really want you out public because they were afraid of what you would say, which is that you could have proven your case because you are a career prosecutor who knows how to prosecute criminals.
Ah, almost did it. You almost said the truth. Could have slipped through those lips. Good thing she caught herself, though, because that would have been a bad clip for Jack Smith. Jack Smith obviously didn't have a very good day yesterday, although it wasn't really a bombshell day. I won't oversell you on it, but he did testify yesterday in front of the Judiciary Committee. We're jumping in and out of it. Nothing bombshell. The deposition was more interesting than the actual testimony was. But I guess you could say there was a little interesting moment that took place. Congressman Troy Nels, who has obviously been a fighter for J6ers in regards to the treatments in jails and trying to get to the truth, and he really isn't even partisan on the issue. He was strongly about prosecuting those that committed acts of violence against law enforcement that day. But he also wanted to make sure that people weren't being abused. And that was obviously going on. So Congressman Troy Nels has been, I would say, fair on the issue itself. But in clip 10, while he's trying to explain the multiple failures that took place on January 6th, you'll notice that there is a troll that's sitting behind the witness, and that being Jack Smith. And he seems to be making some, you know, gestures. And he also he has a cough that he can't seem to get rid of, where he just happens to drop a curse word. Take a listen.
And lastly, I would like to quickly address the police officers of January 6th. Mr. Don, Mr. Fanone, Mr. Gonell, Mr. Hodges, I'm a member of the new select committee to actually examine what happened that day. And I can tell you, gentlemen, that the fault does not lie with Donald Trump. It lies with Yogananda Pittman and the U.S. Capitol leadership team. We know they had the intelligence and there was going to be a high propensity for violence that day. Claim my time, yeah.
You will be in order. The time belongs to the gentleman from Texas. We've had some disruptions already. We don't need that. Let the gentleman may continue.
We know the Capitol leadership team, specifically Yogananda Pittman, had the intelligence, and there was going to be a high propensity for violence that day. And the Capitol itself was the target. We knew the extremist groups were going to be there. And why do I say that? It was your own report from your intelligence section, the IICD, which was run by Pittman, in the January 3rd special events section. It was in it. And Mr. Dunn, I believe that you thought that day would be like just any other. In your testimony to the January 6th committee, you said you found out how Dougie was going to get on a cell phone. Somebody sent you some information on social media. The point is, you were all unprepared to deal with that day. And that's because your leadership failed to share the intelligence with you.
Yeah. Well, they don't like you calling them out for their nonsense. And by the way, this is a fake tough guy, very fake tough guy. We're going to get you this clip of Kara Castanova grilling him, and it's quite the laughable moment. But the two officers that were there at the hearing, let's just be very clear. These two officers are accused of perjury. These two officers, we could just focus on Harry Dunn for half a second here. Harry Dunn, the guy who looks like Shrek, who's just moping around, that guy is a liar. Liar. A liar. It is in my personal belief that he sat there and he knowingly lied during the criminal trials of the Oath Keepers. We know this because Steve Baker's uncovered the footage that shows that his testimony was completely false in regards to the fact that he said that the Oath Keepers were also the agitators that day. How do we know this? Well, Harry Dunn did fill out a document. That document was suppressed from ever getting into the courtroom. That document actually said that the Oath Keepers were helpful to him that day. Somebody likely got in his ear and told him, can't have that in here. Let's revise this. So Harry Dunn has been, for the last few years now, going around and touting lies and spewing lies about people. Didn't even care that his lie landed a couple of guys in prison for over a decade. So he has the guts, the cojones, to go out there, as you could see, and show his face. By the way, he was a coward on January 6th. Was very nervous, was pointing his gun everywhere, because obviously he is not a member of law enforcement. Mentally, he's probably a mall cop at best. And then the other officer who was screaming curse words at Congressman Troy Nels. Oh, tough guy. Bunch of tattoos. No testosterone, though. Everyone, hold me back. Hold me back. No one's holding it back. If you want to throw a punch, throw a punch. But you can't do that. Why? Well, I can't say that word on air. But Kara Castanova, you can't land a punch on Kara Castanova, because that girl, not only is she a professional fighter, but she's also a fighter for real causes like J6ers. And she had quite the very laughable moment when she decided to confront this coward. Take a listen.
Officer Fanone, how are you today?
Oh, I'm great.
What happened in there?
What are you talking about?
That Jack confrontation.
Jack Smith testified about how he had proof beyond reasonable doubt that Donald Trump incited, orchestrated, and funded the insurrection at the Capitol on January 6, 2021.
It seemed like there was a fight in there?
No, there was no fight.
Is it true, Officer Fanone, that you turned off your own body camera on January 6th?
No.
I saw your body cam. You turned it off yourself. You were playing dead. I saw your body cam footage.
You're a
What am I?
Right-wing conspiracy theorist.
I saw you turn off your body cam footage, sir, but thank you for disrespecting me. Psychopath.
He's a coward. He's a coward. He turned off his body cam footage because he's probably just in the corner crying his eyes out. One could assume at this point he's a coward. A coward. You're a tough guy. Do something. Do something. Harry Dunn's going to hold you back. The guy could barely walk. He's overweight. He's out of shape. He could barely walk. If you want to do something, do something. Otherwise, shut up and sit down. Shut up and sit down. I'm just so over these fake tough guys. Oh, I'm going to get my moment. I'm going to look real tough. Do something. Do something. Otherwise, shut up and get out of the room. And I bet you he would never act as bold as he did to Troy Nels if Troy Nels wasn't sitting up on that platform. If Troy Nels was face to face with him, he wouldn't have the guts to do what he did there. He's a coward. I'm so tired. So tired of seeing these cowards. But if the DOJ really wanted to do something, they would actually go after those two guys, because those two guys have been spewing nothing but lies. By the way, Harry Dunn, the big goofus, the one who looks like a Shrek, that guy, by the way, he ran for Congress and Nancy Pelosi endorsed him. If you're wondering why, well, obviously, he helped spew the narrative. He helped spew the lies. So in my opinion, it was probably something that was like, hey, listen, if you do this for us, we'll do something for you. We'll get you into Congress. We could use more morons in Congress. He ran, lost, thankfully, but he did run. Oh, poor Harry Dunn. These guys are cowards, cowards, glorified mall cops. They're not even intelligent enough to be a member of law enforcement. This is what happens when the bar is so low, so low. Garbage like this guy come in. And that's exactly what they are. They're garbage. They're garbage human beings. And I'm holding back still. Don't want to tell you how I really feel about these two. All right, let's switch it up a little bit. You know, I guess we could listen to this one. In clip six, J.D. Vance is schooling journalists, and he's doing a good job. He's very respectful when he takes his tone with them. But I want you to listen clearly to the question and then J.D.'s response. Take a listen.
Yes. Earlier this week, local law enforcement accused federal agents of racial profiling. Why are there so many U.S. citizens being caught up in this operation?
Well, I think your question assumes something that's not necessarily in evidence, which is that when there are American citizens who have been caught up in some of these enforcement operations, very often it is people who have assaulted a law enforcement officer. They're not being arrested because they violated the immigration laws. They're being arrested because they punched a federal law enforcement officer. That is a totally reasonable thing.
Oh, the facts. The facts are always so inconvenient. See, this is the problem with these so-called journalists. They pretend to be journalists. And by the way, they would deem the rest of us who actually uncover things not as they wouldn't call us journalists. And the reality of it is they are all left-leaning mouthpieces. They all go to these crazy colleges, cook up these expensive bills, and they're being taught to be propagandists. So they might not even knowingly be doing all of this. This, in fact, might be their mistake. We could be nice and say that it's their mistake. But folks, it's great to hear J.D. Vance shut them down. I think he does it with class, and I think that's what's missing all the time. I myself am a little classless, so I wouldn't respond that graceful. It'd be like, oh, what are you, an idiot? That's why I like hearing J.D. Vance shut down people. Speaking of shutting down people, if you want a really good laugh, Jasmine Crockett's trying to reinvent her image. This girl who went to private school, who's actually not even from Texas, by the way, she wants to make Texans feel like she's Texan. She's a gun-touting Texan. In clip 11, take a listen.
Listen, I'm a gun-toting Texan, right? So I own firearms, I'm licensed to carry, and I also care about agriculture. Way before I was running for the United States Senate, you know, I served on the Ag Committee. I'm the girl who's actually lived in rural Texas. I'm the girl that has actually driven farm equipment.
Ah, you've driven farm equipment. I'd love to see a video of that. Love to see a video of that. You and I both know she's lying. She's lying. She's never driven farm equipment. She has no idea what farming even is. And she's a gun-touting Texan. You'd probably see videos and pictures of her because she never lets a moment go to waste. She was actually doing all of those things. She has to pretend like she's one of the Texans now that she's running for U.S. Senate. No one believes anything that Jasmine Crockett's saying. She is full of it. She is a liar. She is just hoping your IQ is as low as hers. Maybe then you'd believe her. But Jasmine Crockett giving us a good laugh by trying to lie to the American people and say that she, in fact, is a gun-touting Texan. Oh, what a good laugh. All right, I want to go to this next clip. Clip 12. Tucker Carlson has been speaking about Dan Bongino, and it's been quite interesting. Take a listen.
Resign. If Pam Bondi does not resign as AG, what does that tell us, in your opinion?
Well, it tells us that Dan Bongino got shafted, completely shafted. And I'm saying this as a friend of his and someone who respects and likes him, but also just as an observer, an informed observer of it. So Pam Bondi, who's, by the way, I don't hate Pam Bondi. She's a totally nice person. If she was here, you would enjoy, if I don't know if you know her, but she's a very nice person. I'm not against Pam Bondi in the slightest. But the fact is, she got on television on Fox News and started saying stuff like, I've got the client list on my desk. And actually, no, you don't. And I've got thousands of videos of Epstein having sex with kids. Well, actually, no, you don't. Most of the material was commercial porn taken off his computer. Like, that's just not true. Why did she say that? Probably because she's insecure and she's trying to please the audience, I would expect.
Do you think Dan is upset because his integrity is being questioned now over her mistakes?
Oh, my gosh. So you're Dan, and you're a media figure, and you've got one of the biggest podcasts in the country, and you're making tons of money, and you're having a great time, which he was. You just built this brand new studio in Florida. You work with your wife, who you really like, which he does. And you get the call saying you'd be deputy FBI director, and you're like, I love Donald Trump. I love this country. I will, you know, cut my pay by, you know, into a tenth of what it was, and I will leave my house and move to D.C., which is a kind of prison sentence itself. And I will do this because I love the president, I love the country. And you're there a few months, and all of a sudden, everybody thinks you're covering up Epstein's crimes. And it kind of wrecks Dan's career. Like, he can't go back. It's going to be very hard at this point. I mean, things may change. But as of today, pretty hard for Dan to go back to his podcast audience and be like, I'm telling you the truth, when they all think that he's covering up for Epstein. Who did that? Pam Bondi did that. And I don't know that she did it on purpose. I'm assuming not. I don't think she's a mean person. I've never gotten that sense. But for whatever reason, she went out there and said things that were not true, that she could not back up. And then they issued this memo thinking that it would clear everything up.
That was embarrassing.
And I guess they're just so dumb, they didn't realize that if you tell everybody you have the tapes of these crimes and then you issue a memo saying you're not going to prosecute anybody for the crimes, what are you saying? I'm covering up for the perpetrators of these crimes. Duh. They have no one with an IQ over 80 over there to read the memos? Are you kidding? You know, I'm not exactly sure how that happened, but I do know that it leaves a guy like Dan in a horrible position.
Yeah.
And he loves Trump. And I don't think Trump had any knowledge of any of this at the detail level. And so he doesn't, I mean, what do you do if you're Dan Bongino? I just really, I feel for him.
Yeah, I mean, folks, he obviously is going to have a rough road ahead. His podcast is expected to begin next month. And, you know, the best way to handle this, just from a PR perspective, because I've done crisis management in my lifetime, that's one of the many hats I wear, would be just to come forward and just speak the truth. Now, obviously, can't tell you everything. There's ongoing investigations, and that I understand. But the Epstein saga needs to be detailed. You can't get past that. You can't get past that. Rather than going out there and attacking individuals, which I don't think is the right way to go about it. Yeah, okay, if a journalist is actually throwing punches at you, then definitely fight back. But just to sit here and say that if you disagree with the report, you're a black pillar, or if you disagree with criticism, you're a black pillar. These labels don't work. We've seen it during the pandemic when they tried labeling us as conspiracy theorists based on our own beliefs that the vaccines weren't actually vaccines. They tried their very best to do that, and it didn't work. Trying to throw names on people doesn't work. My advice for this entire situation for Dan Bongino would just be simply come forward and tell the truth. And I've said it before like 1,000 times. I don't think Dan Bongino is a bad person. I knew him before he went in. That's why I endorsed him. I thought he was going to be great at this. But the Epstein files clearly was a DOJ issue, not FBI related. I know this because I've been speaking to people across the agencies, and it's always been the focus that the FBI was trying to push this forward, but it all fell at the DOJ. So keep that in the back of your mind. All right, folks, buckle up. We got more to discuss in just a bit. We're going to be taking your calls in the next hour. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. 877-789-2539. And again, we got a great sale going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. 25% off hoodies, t-shirts. Hats are 20% off. There's also incredible discounts across the line when it comes to supplements. So you got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
People can use this as a teaching moment that, you know, I see a lot of people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it. Just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultra methylene red at the AlexJonesStore.com.